Well, could you open us in prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you this night, Lord, and thank you for bringing us safely into the presence tonight, Lord, safely and well, Lord. And Lord, may you make our hearts receptive and our mind, body and soul receptive to thy word, Lord, which Christy will give out tonight, Lord. Give them a touch of the Spirit, Lord, and present ourselves, Lord, and be one for another, Lord. Bless each and every night this cover, Lord, as every hustle is represented in this church, but also in all churches and galleries and assemblies across the country and across the world that come to for Sunday services, Lord, to come for people to come to hear about thee, Lord, and Lord, and use the saved men that are in those churches, Lord, that are preaching, Lord, to reach out and touch those that are lost, Lord, and to teach and upbraid and exhort and chastise those that are in the congregations if they be saved, Lord. Lord, pray with us tonight, Lord, and we're right for us, Lord. Pray for the people in the land, Lord. Pray for the land, listen to that. This UK, USA, and throughout the world, got people with COVID-19. But we pray that the condition doesn't get worse, Lord. And Lord, you may use it as a way to teach them and to reach out to them, Lord, that there is a better way, and the better way is, Lord, to provide through salvation, Lord. Lord, save their souls, Lord. But primarily, save their life, Lord, and save their souls also, Lord. Through this day, Lord, you give peace to our land, Lord, and give peace to the world, Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the message of the gospel, Lord. And Lord, give wisdom to the leaders, the world leaders, Boris Johnson, Lord, teach him, Lord, and Donald Trump, Lord, and all people throughout the world, our leaders, Lord, help them, Lord, throughout this crisis, Lord, but also, Lord, save their souls and help them to bring others to the Lord, to the Lord Jesus Christ, through salvation of this. Jesus' salvation on the cross, Lord. Bless us tonight, Lord. Pray for Christ, Lord. Give us the Spirit, Lord, and reach out to us for thy honor, for our glory, for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
We'll take a favorite anywhere in the room. First number, fastest number first.
Green.
And the black one.
All the people have enough to do that.
It's in there, aren't we? Make take another one. Anywhere. Fastest number. Doesn't sound familiar. Let's see. I don't think so.
138. What number is it?
138.
Sorry. It's stand as we sing.
Hey!
Turn tonight to Psalm number 92 and Psalm 93. And the Psalm 92 is a psalm or song for the Sabbath day, so I think it's quite apt. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon the instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the flower workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, O Lord, art most high forever. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire of mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteous in him. Psalm 93. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The Lord also established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Thy floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, the floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. The testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Amen.
Amen. We're getting well practiced. We know not to even ask your permission to come up to do the announcements. Just want to remind everyone to make sure that they get one of the wee pink prayer lists, and take time at some stage during the week just to pray about all the souls and all the events that are mentioned there. Do pray for each other, and do remember each other, and don't forget those that haven't been about for a while, and just think in the bottom corner there behind Norman, for Esther and Pat and Steve. And we haven't seen Frank for a while, but he'll be back around Christmas time. So please do remember them. And we have over the years many souls that have gone separate ways. We don't mind whenever they go away and begin another work, like Brother Stan and the family down in Bangor. But we do care about those souls that have slipped and slid and have fallen and are not doing well. So please do pray for Sylvia and Jonathan, for Ian Robinson, for Paul and Ethel and Chloe and Joshua and Rachel Lee, for Courtney and Megan and Alex and Mason the Munyon. I don't think there are any others that I can... did we mention Alan and Rachel and Nathan and Jordan? We did. Please do pray for these souls if you would. I know many of them things are not going well for. So I also know that God's the God of the second chance, and I'm thankful for it. Otherwise, there's none of us would be here. None of us. So please remember that. Please do too think on those that have lost loved ones. We're thinking especially on Norman at the far end of the road. His dad passed away there just a few days ago. Very difficult time too for something like that to happen. Of course, we remember Will and Norman and Stephen and John and Carol at the back there have all lost loved ones. I would ask that you would also remember the Gilbert family over in Grace Bible in America, and the Cardwell family as well up in Portadown. Please do pray for all these families and those that they have lost. Some of those, I am not sure if they were ever saved. I pray that they were, but the Lord knows. Do pray for America at this time. They're having a lot of trouble. Well, in the press, they are having a lot of trouble, but everywhere else, things are just going okay. Do pray for our own country for a little bit of guidance and wisdom. I think Will's already made mention of that in our prayers, and do pray for Bethel. We are still in the process of getting things sorted out, and do pray for surveyors, land surveyors, to get back to me regarding the valuation of this little piece of campsite. We would like to make it our own so that nobody can chase us off of it, so please do remember that. Other than that, pray for Christy. He's put a lot of work into getting ready for this evening, and I appreciate him still sticking with us. It'll be a year in just about a month's time that he's been carrying the can for me. I think there was two or three services in the week that he was actually looking after, and we've got him down to one. I reckon maybe another year. We'll get him off the hook altogether. In fact, I think I have my deadline, isn't it? It's sometime in May that I have to be ready to take three services in a week. That shouldn't be a bother. I actually feel quite good this evening. I reckon I could probably do the service because I know Christy's all ready, and I would hate to see a grown man cry if he didn't get up to take the service. Anyway, please remember those. There are many people we have on our list of loved ones for salvation. Please do call those names out. Please do remember all the folks on Maboy Road. There's Stephen and Anne-Marie next door. Her dad is not very well. He's got very, very bad dementia. Please do pray for Carol and Harold and Marie. The wee bungalow down there on the right-hand side before you get to the main road again. Please do remember Jane and Corey. That's the middle bungalow. I'm not sure who lives in the bungalow nearest us out of those three, but please do pray for them. Henry and Evelyn. Sally and Kate, and of course Alan and Pearl, and whomever else listens to the CDs, Maslam and Georgina, and whomever else. So please do remember that. Pat and Steve send their regards. Please do pray for them. Steve's having a difficult time with his legs. Yeah. Anybody got a private prayer request that they would like prayed for? Stick your hand up and we'll pray for it. God, you will. We don't need the details, we just need your hand. That's grand. Okay, anybody got any thanks? If Steve was here, he would say, for God's richest blessing. So we'll just keep that in there in honor of Steve. All right. Is that it? Is there anything else we need to be thinking on or praying about? Oh, yeah. And my dad, he's coming. Pray for him. He's coming to visit with us. For a few days over Thanksgiving, and hopefully he'll give me a hand around the shed and the barn and one thing and another. So I think we might even have him for a service or maybe two or three, but please do pray about that. Thank you. How could I forget my old dad traveling? Quite easily, says he. He didn't put it in the paper, so it's not happening, eh? That's on me. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll give Christy the pulpit back. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, again for your many helps. Thank you, Lord, that for the open invitation to come and visit with you at any time of the day or night. And Lord, you know all the needs of our heart and the prayer requests that we have for lost loved ones. I pray, Lord, that you would save those souls for friends, for neighbours, and for countrymen that don't yet know you as Savior. Please save them. I pray even at this upcoming Christmas, Lord, that when many people have to do without, they'll realize that they need you as their Savior. Please, Lord. Do you remember, Lord, all the long-suffering and patience you have for us, for all those that have lost loved ones at this time? And I pray for a very special comforting for them, Lord. Please. You know all of the other prayer requests for America, for Britain, Lord, for goodness, for Israel, these three places that are very close to our hearts at the moment. Please, I pray you deliver them. We pray you, Lord, for your will to be done in Britain and in America, and of course all the way around the world. But we know, Lord, it may just actually have to wait until you actually set foot in this world until we see that fulfilled. But please, please, Lord, speak to people. Please save souls. Please guide the hands of those that walk in the corridors of power. And Lord, whenever our name's called, I pray you, Lord, we wouldn't be found wanting. We love you and thank you. Bless Christy as he brings us the message. And Lord, we just look forward to that time in your word. We ask all this, and of course, all the other things, Lord, and for all the other names that were mentioned, we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Christy.
Mark forgetting his dad reminded me of an account I read one time where a boy comes to a preacher and says, "Can you pray for my hearing?" And the preacher puts his hand over his ears and completely covers him and starts praying. And after he prayed, he asked the guy, he said, "How's your hearing now?" He said, "It's not until Thursday." He's a court hearing. On a slightly more serious note, a charitable event came to my attention this week. Kindness of Strangers, it's called, where children who are in families who are hard-pressed have a wish that they put down and give to this charity, and you can contact them and ask them for a wish from the tree. If you're in a position to help and give, then I would encourage you to do so, to pray so. But there's going to be a lot of people who've lost jobs this year, and a lot of families going without. So let us keep in mind our communities and any charitable donations that we can do and help this year, just to be a blessing to someone. Amen. Anyone else got a favourite hymn?
Four.
Yep. The Way of the Cross Leads Home. Hymn number four.
In times like these, you
If you have your Bibles tonight, Acts chapter 11, we're going to read the first 18 verses. And a continuation of our study through Acts. The topic tonight is the disconnected church. The disconnected church. Acts 11:1 says, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered, and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. The voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Amen. That sounds very familiar to Acts chapter 10. It is a recount of it. So I'm not doubling up on one of the lessons, but it is repeated. So Mark, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence. Please, Father, keep all distractions, the world, the flesh, and the devil far from our minds. Lord, we're gathered together to hear your word. So please bless Christy and deliver him the words that we need to hear. Work in his heart also, Lord, at this time, even as he uses your word to work in ours. We just thank you for loving us. Pray your good hand upon every preacher in the land that is daring to stand and preach the full counsel of your word. Please bless the preachers and the hearers of it. We just love you and thank you, Father. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus.
Amen. Our last study was the unlearning church. Church is, of course, a place of much learning. When people first get into church, there's a lot to learn, but also there is a lot to unlearn. And we've seen even through the account that we have recounted or reread tonight, Peter had to do some unlearning, and God used a trance and a vision to do that for him. Then when he did finally go to Caesarea, to the man's house, to Cornelius' house, and they got saved, they prayed that he would abide with them for a number of days to get discipled so that they could unlearn any of the religious laws or habits or rituals that they had and learn more about Jesus. But in learning, there is a lot of unlearning to do. But tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the disconnected church and some disconnects that we notice through the early church as the church transitioned not only to the Jews but to the Gentiles. In chapters 9 and 10, God worked through Peter to help the Jewish believers of the day realize that the Gentiles could also be saved. Here we have Peter on the way back from Caesarea. And as he gets to Judea, he's met with this contention. The Jewish believers of the day, they don't greet him with any glory or praise. They heard what was going on. We see word had traveled from Joppa, where Peter was, to Judea, to where the Jews that were left behind or stayed behind had been. It says in verse 1, they heard the Gentiles had also received the word of God. When Peter was come to Jerusalem, they that were circumcised, or in other words, the Jews, they contended with him. And the accusations against them were, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. What a crime. You know that you would spend a bit of time and a meal in these days. And even today is a significant thing. When you sit down to eat with someone, to choose a level of comfort. You get down to their level. You get in their environment and you eat what they prepare for you. Or you prepare something that you normally eat for them. It's a significant step of fellowship. It is. It was forbidden in this day for the Jews to go in and accompany a Gentile. But here we have Peter learning that God wanted this to happen. Rather than the attitude of praise, here they're perplexed. They're disheartened. They're discouraged. They're annoyed with Peter for going against the Jewish law. The charge is, you know, you, Peter, who is supposed to be a faithful Jew, went in and spent time with these Gentiles. It shouldn't have happened. It's against Jewish law. We were told in Acts chapter 10 for this to happen. And here we have Peter directly disobeying the Jewish law. The first disconnect. Peter disconnected from the Jewish law and traditions of the day in order to obey God's law. But they contend with him. Peter hears their charges, and rather than exercise his apostolic authority, he humbly rehearses the matter. And he says in verse number 4, it says, rehearse the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order. And obviously it's a shortened version, but he takes his time going from the very beginning. He starts when he was in Joppa praying in verse number 5. It says he in a trance. Have you ever been in prayer and you just get an almost like an overwhelming awe of thankfulness, of gratefulness, of amazement of what God has done in your life or for someone else that you're praying about? That's the trance. That it's called amazement. It's wonderment. It's fear, a respectful fear. This is the trance that he was referring to. And whilst in that trance, God sent a vision to him. It was, we know, I know I'm repeating myself from a few weeks ago, but I'm just going to go through it because if God repeated it in two chapters of Acts, well, I need to repeat it in two messages. It says, a certain vessel, which was a great sheet, was let down from heaven by the four corners, and it came to Peter. Clearly there was a message here to be learned. But when he looked upon that sheet, he fastened his eyes, he concentrated, and he wondered, considers is what he said. He saw four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. And then the Lord, the voice of God, commands him and says, arise, Peter, slay and eat. God talks to him directly. The words of Jesus, these are in red in my Bible. Peter refused the request or the instruction of the Lord. He said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. And then the Lord answers him again and refutes his answer or his refusal. It says, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And at this stage, Peter's thinking, is this trying to teach me that I'm allowed to eat meats that's forbidden by Jewish law? But it happens again and it happens again. Peter says it happened three times before they were all drawn up again to heaven. Can I just say that the stupidest student in the school of God can't miss the lesson that the teacher has gone through three times? If God says something three times, it's confirmed that the lesson that he's trying to tell us, something that we need to learn. Peter even recounts, I think it's in Acts 10, chapter or verse 28. He says, God showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So it was about men, it was about the souls of men, and specifically it was about the souls of the Gentiles. But the reaction of these Jewish believers just shows us the significance of the change that God was implementing here. There was two lessons, one to the Gentiles, which was, you don't need to become a Jew first. You don't need to get circumcised and put yourself under the law of Moses. Repent and believe and you can come to Jesus. The second lesson was to the Jews. And it was, receive your Gentile brethren as full members of God's family. They're not inferior in any way to you. That was the lesson. First, these believers in Judea were more concerned with what Peter had done rather than what God was doing with the Gentiles. What a sad, sorry estate. And that's often how it is in our church. The second disconnect is we're not connected to what God's doing, but instead we get so connected to what other people are doing. And then we become a judge of God's servants rather than someone who's praying for the ministry of God and the work of God. And that work to bear fruit. And that happens today. Mm-hmm. Still happens today. Rather than contribute to ministries, we criticize. Just because souls aren't doing it the way we would have done it, doesn't mean that they're not doing it the way God wants them to do it. Anyway, it goes on and he says, he connects the vision with the men arriving. After the sheet's drawn up and the beasts are drawn up, immediately there was three men already at the house where he was, sent from Caesarea. And he tells them, the Spirit told me to go, not doubt anything. And doesn't it seem wise now in verse number 12 that he took six brethren with him, seeing the reaction of these Jewish believers? It's always good to have witnesses with you in case anyone would accuse you of an offense. But six brethren accompanied him on this road to Caesarea from Joppa. They get to the man's house. And then Cornelius tells them how he had seen an angel. And the angel told him to send to Joppa for one named Simon Peter, who shall tell thee all the words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Peter begins to speak, and he recounts that the Holy Ghost fell on them as it did us at the beginning, as his words. At the day of Pentecost in the upper room, there was around 120 Jews there at the time. Jesus, in Acts 1, I think 1 Corinthians 5, said, not many days hereafter you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Then came in the great rushing wind, and the cloven tongues of fire sat upon their heads. And these men in the upper chamber, or the upper room, started to speak in tongues, and every man heard the gospel in his own language. This was the Holy Ghost falling upon the Jewish believers of the day. And this happened. Here's the Gentiles' day at Pentecost. And Peter recounts, you know, it was just exactly like happened to us. It was no different. God indeed has visited the Gentiles and delivered his promise of baptism of the Holy Ghost. He goes on and says, I remember the word of the Lord, how he said, John and these baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I like as he goes on, just said, as much as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the only condition for salvation. Peter reiterates the fact here that is believing and faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, you're telling me that I should stand against God? Who am I to oppose God? What was I that I could withstand God? It was God's work, it was done God's way, and it was done by God's servant. Who is I to interfere in that? And that's another disconnect. We often think that I am a child of God, I'm in the family of God, I'm in the church of God, and I can decide what God's going to do and the way he's going to do it. It's not so. It's not so. Yes, you might be a child of God in the church of God in the family of God, but you aren't God. And we're disconnected from God's will oftentimes. When the men heard these things, then the perplexion turns to praise in verse number 18, in our last verse. They held their peace. Any anger that was built up, any frustration, any accusations that were going to come out following Peter's answer were put to rest. They were suppressed. And God received the glory for doing the work that he rightfully decided to do in his will and expand the church to beyond Jerusalem and the Jews. And here we have salvation come to the house of the Gentiles. And they say, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And how thankful should we be for that? That God did expand the borders of his love beyond Jerusalem and Israel unto the Gentiles. Because we too are Gentiles. What a great disconnect there is there as well. Oftentimes we think, well, I'm just saved, and it becomes ordinary to us. It shouldn't be ordinary. It's extraordinary. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's magnificent. Magnificent. I can't even say that word. You know what I mean? Magnificent. I think that sounds right. But it is wonderful. It's not ordinary. Not everyone has it. Everyone can have it, but not everyone does. And God took the time to show you and I our need for a Savior. The Holy Ghost took his time to work upon us. These men already had Peter charged as guilty. And I want you to note these key words without actually knowing what had happened. They went and they brought these accusations based on what they had heard. When the word traveled from Caesarea to Judea. It wasn't even Peter brought the word to them at this stage. Before Peter got to them, word had already spread and got back about what God was doing in Caesarea. These folks were disconnected from the ministry. And that's oftentimes what happens in Christian circles, is we have a select few doing the work, and we have a lot of others spectating and telling them how they should be doing the work. It's a great disconnect. It's not a spectator sport, and if you're not participating, well, just sit your lip. Rather than contribute to the ministry and the work in the Gentiles, they criticized how the man of God disobeyed old laws and opinions that he was no longer subject to. Peter rightfully disconnected himself from those old thoughts, those opinions, those religious laws, traditions. To follow the leading and the working of God. And that's another thing. We get so hung up upon our opinions of stuff and things and people, or certain sections of people, of religions and societies, that we often become disconnected for how God's trying to work with us to that thing, that people, that section of society. We think, they're not worth it. You know, I have my opinion of them, and that's not going to change. And just on that note, I think of Hosea and Gomer, a prophet in the day, told to marry a prostitute, harlot, calls her, to be an example unto the children of Israel. But can you imagine if these believers in the early church had been there with Hosea at the day, what they would have been saying to him? How dare you marry a harlot, a prostitute, and you call yourself a man of God, and we're supposed to trust your word? You're just looking to snake your lust on someone, is what they would have said. You see, the thing is that we don't know God's will for other people. When God was protecting Christ, when Christ was in the room, in the womb, in Mary's womb, he told Joseph to take her down to Egypt. He didn't tell anyone else. He didn't tell the shepherds to go and tell Joseph he needs to take his family to Egypt. He spoke to Joseph directly. And that's the way God works. He talks to souls directly. You might have an opinion, and I'm not saying that everyone that does something in the name of God and for God does it right. What I'm saying is, we ought to just pray for people rather than criticize if they're trying to work for God. And in closing, I have two portions just to read, is from How to Disconnect to Connect. We're turning to the book of James. This will be handy because they're both in chapters within James. James 1, 19 through 22. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That cut. Those words cut. We often forget to be slow to speak and swift to hear. We think that we need to give our opinions and our ways on everything that we hear. And rather than just hearing where someone's coming from or hearing what's going on, we're quick to speak, but we're slow to hear. And our wrath is so easily boiled up in us. You know, we get annoyed and we think that people aren't doing things the way we think that they should be done. But let us be slow to speak and swift to hear. Anger is one letter short of danger. Let that be in your mind the next time you're getting wrathful. James 4, 7 through 12 is the next portion we're reading. If you want to reconnect to your brethren, to God, be swift to hear. Swift to hear God, be swift to hear your brethren, and be slow to speak. God gave us 2 ears and one mouth for a purpose, twice as much listening as talking. James 4, 7 through 12. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? First thing I see there, submit yourself therefore to God. And then it'll be easier to do the rest of that. If you think there's a gap between you and God, it says draw nigh to him. It's not God that's drawn away from you, it's you that's drawn away from God, is what I'm getting from that. And we have the ability to cleanse our hands. It says, cleanse your hands. It doesn't say, go to God and get him to cleanse your hands. Yes, of course, he needs to take away our sins, but it's our deeds that make our hands dirty. Stop doing those deeds. But the key in verse 8 is purifying your hearts. Because a soul can be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath on the outward. But in their hearts, it can be complete opposite. So make sure our hearts are purified, are made holy, sanctified, and make sure we're connected to God. There's nothing worse for the cause of the church than a disconnected Christian. Just think, had Peter not a disconnected from those old Jewish laws, traditions and opinions, the church might not have expanded out beyond Judea and Jerusalem. It might not have expanded out beyond the Jews. Thankful for those that do disconnect from their old ways and connect to God's ways, and that's what we need to do today. Let us be a disconnected church to the world, the flesh and the devil, but connected in all things to God. Amen. Amen. Anyone got a closing hymn? 173. You'll need to stand as you sing that one. Love lifted me.
Sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, and I saved my mind. Love lifted me.
Stand for a word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Mark, would you dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this Lord's Day, for this, our Sabbath day. And I pray that you would bless each soul here, for all the heads that are bowed in your presence, for the families that are represented, for those whose names were called out, Lord, and Lord, for those that have slipped and slid away. I pray you, Lord, for even in these dark days, in these last of the last days, that even now that you would speak to and deal with and convict greatly, sin and judgment to come, and the dangers of not listening. Bless Christy for his faithful delivery of your word to us this evening. Thank you for the good thoughts. Lord, let us take them home and apply them to our lives. Let us not be the fool, but let us remember what we look like when we look in the mirror. Bless us as we part company. And Lord, bless to our memories, our hearts and minds, the words of the messages this evening and this morning too. We love you and thank you. And we pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.